Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We are thankful. I am thankful today, for you have allowed me to return to the pulpit to preach your word. And I just pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, that the word of God may go out in such a way that it has an impact upon people who love you and people who do not know you. We pray that those who do not know you would come into the knowledge of who you are, because we cannot use only human argument to persuade anyone. We ask that you would grant, through your mercy, through your promises to the Son of God, that he would be a light for the Gentiles, and that they would come and they would believe. We pray that you would fulfill that in our day, that people who do not even know you, who would never think of darkening the door of a church, especially a Bible-believing church, that they would come, they would hear, they would make commitment to you and be saved. So now in Jesus' name, Lord, as we always ask, open our hearts and minds to the Holy Scriptures of God, for they are of God. They are not of man. This information is a download from heaven itself, from outside of this universe, from the God who sits upon the throne of grace and glory. Amen. Why do you think we should give thanks to God, specifically to God? Usually in Thanksgiving time, you'll hear on television or radio programs, people say, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, but rarely do I hear anymore that I'm thankful to God, specifically to God. That was the intent when Congress and the president, way back in Abraham Lincoln's day, that was the intent when they proclaimed it to be a national holiday. It was so that the nation would give thanks unto God. God, who had formed the nation, sustained the nation, and blessed the nation. Why should you give thanks to God specifically, not just to some ethereal being out there? Because it counters the world's cynicism. Giving thanks is an antidote to the cynical, negative, critical attitude of the world towards God and towards the things of God. In Romans, it says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that man is without excuse. Even though they knew there was a God, they did not honor God or give thanks to him, but their minds became futile in their speculations, their hearts were darkened, they professed to become wise, but instead they became fools. Thanksgiving is a counteraction to the cynicism of agnosticism, atheism, disbelief. We should be thankful to God just for that purpose. You should also be thankful to God because it is the will of God for you. People are always wondering, what does God want me to do? They even came up to Jesus Christ and asked him, what's the will of God? What does God want us to do? And at that point, Jesus said, believe. Believe in the one that he has sent. Believe in me. Put your faith in me. That's what God wants you to do. He also wants you to give thanks. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Very few places in the Bible do you have a direct quote like this. What does God want you to do? He wants you to believe in Jesus Christ. He wants you to be thankful in all circumstances. And all circumstances means everything that you go through in life. Thankful that I got COVID. Thankful that my brother died. Thankful that my son was killed in an accident. He said, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? How can you be thankful for such negative experiences? I don't know how that is. I really don't. I just know that you have a choice when something negative happens. You can choose to act and react negatively to the negative circumstance, or you can choose to, God, I don't understand why this has happened, but I do give you thanks for it because I know that somehow through it, you're teaching me something. How to be more like Christ, how to be more patient and loving and kind, how to be able to commiserate with people when they go through things. That's happened to me concerning deaths, concerning COVID-19 illness, where I was in bed and I had excruciating migraine headaches. I'll never belittle a headache again, having had one of them. Now, it felt like somebody was sticking a knife in my head and twisting it. It was so painful that I felt like crying and I couldn't cry. I just now can have a sense of understanding when somebody is in difficult physical pain. Actually, somebody in our church came up and shared with me that their stepmother is dying of a melanoma cancer, and she's in such pain that she has decided to just ask the doctor to give her the medication that would end her existence. I know there's a lot of debate about this issue. It's just an issue that's a reality of our day and age. All I can say is this: I won't belittle the fact that when people are in pain, it isn't a difficult thing. And I don't know about ending one's life when you're in pain or because you're in pain, because when Jesus was dying on the cross, he refused the opiate that they offered to him. He didn't want to take it. He wanted to suffer the full effects of the death on the cross that he needed to experience for you and for me. So whether or not you should end your life due to suffering and pain, that's ultimately between you and God. I would say that you should let God be the one that chooses when you exit. You legally nowadays in many states, you have the right to choose otherwise. That's also up to you. But remember this, that you will have to talk to him about even that decision too. So it's between you and God. You should be thankful because it relieves worry and anxiety. There's a lot of everybody's always saying, I'm so stressed. There's so many buzzwords that we're all sick of hearing, right? Everybody says they're all stressed. And one of the reasons that we're always all stressed is because we allow the circumstances of life to come to bear on our minds and in our hearts to cause us to feel worry, anxiety, stress, instead of understanding that there is a way to manage all of the things that are happening with peace and with confidence. Watch. Do not be anxious about anything, says Paul to the Philippian church in chapter 4. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So thankfulness, thanksgiving, relieves stress and worry and anxiety. And because people aren't being taught about this, that's why I think there is so much stress and anxiety and mental illness and neurotic behaviors, because we don't understand what to do with all of the difficult things that come into our lives. And Paul the Apostle says, don't be anxious about anything. A lot of Christians got really anxious about the election or about the COVID pandemic or about this or that. And the Bible teaches us you have to be confident. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about everything. Be thankful to God. Present your requests to God. If you're going through a difficult circumstance, okay, it's difficult. I'm not saying that you should just pretend it doesn't exist. Obviously, when we go through a difficult time, what we need to say in the midst of the process is, God, help me as I'm dealing with this. Please help me to do what I need to do in this circumstance so that it glorifies you somehow. Present your requests. Thanksgiving also allows you to be at peace. Continuing in Philippians 4, when you do this, when you give thanksgiving and you present all your prayers and petitions to God, the peace of God, watch what it says here, which transcends, that means it's above, it goes above all understanding. There's no way to explain this. God's peace will come to you and will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So the admonition, in everything, don't be anxious. Simply by prayer and petition. Prayer is, Lord, please. Petition is you list out what you're going through. I'm sick. My wife is sick. My husband is sick. My kid's on drugs. Whatever it is, You present all of that to God, a petition. You present it to him and you say, God, I don't understand why this is going on. I don't get why all of this is happening in my life, but I give you thanks for it in the midst of it, knowing that somehow you're going to use it all to bring me to a place of peace. Don't allow circumstance to dictate your stress level, your anxiety level, your relational issues. Let God's peace prevail in your life. Don't overreact when something occurs. When death knocks on your door, which it does all of us, jumping in your car and driving down the road 100 miles an hour isn't going to change it. You simply need to roll with what God allows into your life and say, okay, God, everyone goes through this. Help me to understand how to go through this. Help me to be the best person I could be in the midst of the situation so that the peace of God can be in me and so that it can be evident to people around me. Thankfulness glorifies God. Thankfulness is a characteristic which, when it is evident in somebody's life, you see it. It is obvious. There's a story, and it's not just a story. There's a historical episode that happened while Jesus was on earth when he healed 10 men who had leprosy. This was before the days that we had any medical ability to treat it. 10 men had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance calling out loudly, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They stood at a distance because the law said so. There was a pandemic of leprosy, and they knew, and God gave a law to the Jewish people that in order to contain the spread of this disease, people who have this disease must separate themselves from healthy people. And if they happen to be walking in the countryside and they see somebody coming, law required them to say, don't get near me. I have leprosy. I'm a leper. That way they would go around you and not be exposed to the contagion, which would get you sick. There's a lot to say about that, but simply, we're going through a pandemic and all of that. And I know everybody's sick and tired of it all, but this is nothing new. It has happened in human history before. There was polio, there was diphtheria, there were measles, there were mumps, there was rubella, there was smallpox, there were chicken pox. There's so many things that have happened to humanity, and we have found ways to deal with these things. So please don't act and overreact concerning this whole issue about what to do about the pandemic and this weird virus. Just know that hopefully with cooperation and hopefully with an attitude of, Lord, let's try to get past this. Let's try to get humanity past this so we can go on to living our lives and to enjoying our fellowship with one another, our family life, get back to some normalcy again. Instead of always fighting and yelling and screaming with each other about it all, let's work together to try to get this thing past us, right? They had leprosy and they called out to Jesus, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests at the temple. As they went to the temple, they were cleansed. One of them, seeing that he was healed, turned around, came back, and praised God. In a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Later on in this passage, it actually says this, were there not 10? Why only one came back to say thank you? Thankfulness is obvious. It is evident in somebody's life. And there's a lot of thanklessness in our culture nowadays instead of thankfulness. Thankfulness glorifies God. This man realized that he had been given a cure from God, and he saw it, and he turned around, and he went back to the person who gave it to him and fell down and said, thank you. So thankfulness glorifies God. It's an action that when it is real in you and when you direct it to the proper place, or should I say the proper person, it glorifies God. Thankfulness is also the antidote to the crazy life, to la vida loca. There's so much crazy living out there. Party, party, party hardy, have a good time. It seems to be almost hedonistic. The hedonists in Greek culture were those who just gave themselves over to living life just for the party. And thankfulness changes that. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. He's not saying not to drink wine. He's saying not to get drunk on wine. Where that line is for different people is at different places. Some people can drink a whole bottle of wine and be fine. Others can drink a glass of wine and be falling over. So you should know whatever your limit is, okay? The Bible does not say not to drink wine. It says don't get drunk, because drunkenness leads to debauchery. Debauchery is alcohol and substance abuse in general has the effect of causing human beings, men and women, to lower their normal defenses against behaviors that would get them in trouble. So getting drunk with wine, that's why it's called in some, you read in literature about alcohol and it's called spirits because it does something to you. It changes you. I've experienced that. I've seen family members. I've seen friends where drunkenness completely changes the way they act, behave, and do things. They wouldn't do the things that they do were they not either high or drunk. So drunkenness or getting high, all of this kind of living leads to debauchery. Debauchery is the complete abandonment of self-control. Instead, he says, you should strive to do this. Be filled with the Spirit. Be, if you will, he uses almost like a contrasting metaphor here. Don't be filled with alcohol, which makes you lose your brain. Be filled with the Spirit of God, which then you can speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to God, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thankfulness is an antidote. You need thankfulness because without it, that's one of the reasons that people do decide to start drinking and drugging and all the Vida Loca stuff is because they despair about what's happening in life and they find a way to numb all of that and that gets them in worse trouble. It doesn't get you in a better situation. Thankfulness allows God's sovereignty to come into your life. What is sovereignty? It is the biblical teaching, the theological concept that God is in charge of life and everything in between. And that if we allow this sovereignty of God, okay, God, I'm going through this hard thing. I don't understand what's going on, but I will allow that you being God are allowing this in my life. Now, some of it is self-inflicted. Many of the things we do are consequential. The things we experience are consequential. I've used this metaphor a lot, not metaphor, but example, that if you smoke 10 packs of Camels a day without filters, your lungs are going to get up out of your body at the end of your life and slap you around. It sounds a joke in a way, but I've actually experienced it with the various people I've known where they wouldn't stop. They knew they shouldn't do what they're doing, but they kept on doing it. And at the end, they couldn't even breathe. The single greatest act of worship, this is a quote out of a theologian that I, when I was researching thankfulness, and I liked what he said here. The single greatest act of worship you can render to God is to thank him. It's the epitome of worship because through gratitude, we human beings affirm God as the ultimate source of both trial and blessing and acknowledge our humble acceptance of both trials and blessing. With a thankful heart, you can say in the midst of anything, God be praised. That kind of attitude looks beyond the circumstance to the plan of God. It sees beyond the pain to the sovereignty of God. So what he's basically saying here is the issue of you, through thankfulness, can allow God's sovereignty to work all things together for the good. Because that's what it says next. Thankfulness helps us to have a good attitude in all of our relationships, in all of our affairs of life, even in bad ones. In Romans 8:28, you know this verse. It's very famous. Many Christians memorize it and quote it. God causes all things together to work for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. In the phrase, all things means all things, good and bad, good and negative, positive and negative, failure, success. He causes all of this in the mix of it all to come together to a purpose that we haven't yet seen. But when we get to eternity, we will see, okay, God, now I see why I went through that really difficult thing, because it was teaching me something. Maybe if you're fortunate and if you're teachable, you can ask God, God, can you help me to see why I'm going through this difficult time? What is it you're using this in my life for? When my son was killed, that's the first thing I asked. Okay, God, what are you going to teach me through this? I know that I've just got the news that he's gone, and I know it's not going to be an easy thing to go through. I'm going to have to go look at his dead body, all of these things. So God, what is it that you're going to teach me through this? Now, that teaching took, from that moment, about 4 or 5 years of experience with it. It taught me how to go through grief. It taught me how to handle a sudden death. It taught me how to come to grips with the promises of God in eternal life. It taught me. An attitude of thankfulness enables us to deal with those who wrong us, saying with Joseph, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, Genesis 50:20. You'd have to go back to the story of Joseph and his family. He had brothers, 11 of them, and 10 of them decided to kill him, but then at the last minute, they decided, let's make some money off of this deal, because they didn't like him, because he was their daddy's favorite. They didn't like Joseph. So they sold him into slavery. They made some money for it. And Joseph went down to Egypt, and there he became second to the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. This story is very, very famous in the Bible. But the most important thing is this. By the time Joseph got to this place where he could say honestly to his brothers, look, you guys, I know you feel guilty about this, because they were acting out about this. They had come to Egypt. He had saved the lives of all of his family and given them food and land and all of this stuff. And they were afraid of him. Once their dad died, they thought Joseph was going to take vengeance on them. And he says, look, you guys, it's not about that. You meant evil against me when you did that. You were angry at me because I was a little jerk. And I know that you were angry at me. And I'm sorry for that. But God actually used all of that stuff. He used it for good, because he saved you and the whole family and your families, and he saved many other people who were dying of starvation because of what happened. He was able to see that God did work all things together. It took maybe 40, I don't know, I haven't actually gone back and counted this up, because by the time this happened, Joseph was a grown man. He was married already and had a couple of kids that were already growing up. And by the time all of this was resolved, he was already an older man. He was able to look back and say, okay, God, I see that you used even their treachery as my own brothers who sell me into slavery to bring about a great deliverance for many people. You and I need to understand this. There is a long view here. God doesn't just look at what you're going through right now, and that's the only thing that's important. We do. We think that I'm in pain now, God. I need you now to do something now. Instead, like Joseph sitting in prison there wondering when God's going to do something. And finally, when it does happen, it is glorious. Thankfulness helps you to have a good attitude in all your relationships, even the bad relationships, because Joseph's relationship with his brothers who stabbed him in the back. You know what they actually did? After they sold him into slavery, they took their dad had given Joseph this fancy cloak full of color, and they stabbed it with holes, and they poured blood all over it, and they took it to their dad and said, look, it looks like a wild animal got him. They lied to their dad to try to convince their dad that they didn't kill him, that they didn't sell him into slavery. It was just a real evil episode, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that, because he was rejected by the Jewish people. And he went out into the non-Jewish world and became great amongst them. At the end of time, he will call Israel back to himself, and they will weep and they will mourn, because they will realize that all along it really was him. Thankfulness is an act of eternal worship. when you and I get to eternity, and by the way, we're all getting to eternity. Realistically speaking, theologically speaking, you're already in eternity now. It's just that we're not in the place where God is yet, although we live in God. We live and move and have our being in Him. But when we finally get into the place where heaven is and God's throne is and the angels are and the redeemed of all time, we're going to see that thankfulness is something that always is occurring in heaven. It's eternal. It's an act of eternal worship. Whenever the living creatures give glory, this is back to the book of Revelation, which we were just in, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne. Okay, God, everything that You've given us, everything that You've awarded us, we lay it at Your feet because You're the one that's worthy, Lord God, to receive all glory and honor and power because You're the one that created it all. You gave us our life. You gave us our ability to accomplish. It's by Your will they were created and have their being. Thankfulness is an act of eternal worship. Thanklessness, ingratitude, unthankfulness will be judged by the judge of the universe. Revelation 16:10, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Darkness fell over the beast's kingdom, and people on earth gnawed their tongues because of their pain, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and their sores, and they refused to turn away from their evil ways. God is going to judge unthankfulness and ingratitude. But that is not for His people. He's going to give us blessing and honor and glory forever and ever. But the people that manifest in their lifestyle and in their behaviors and in their words, cursing and bitterness and antagonism against God and Christ and the Bible, that's going to be judged because God cannot have that in His heaven. He will not have that in His presence. He's going to judge it. Let's read this together. This is a prayer of David, and it's one of the songs he put together to praise the Lord, and it's only part of it. So let's read it together. It's about thankfulness. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day by day. Declare His glory amongst the people, His marvelous deeds amongst all of them. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering. Come before Him, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say amongst the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, that we may glory in Your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen. And they said, Praise to the Lord. Let's pray. To give thanks unto You is an act of worship. To give thanks unto You is Your will for us. To give thanks unto You is to acknowledge You as our Creator, our Maker, our Sustainer, our Redeemer, our Lord, our Savior. To be thankless against all of that is spiritual suicide. We might be able to live in this world without acknowledging You, without praising You, without glorifying You. But in the end, we cannot, we will not be able to take that thanklessness into Your presence. You will not abide it. Thanksgiving is the characteristic trait of Your people, of the holy angels, of the redeemed of all time. Cause thankfulness to well forth from the hearts of your people. Cause thankfulness to be a character trait in our lives, even when we're going through difficult and irrational times. Help us, Lord, because we tend towards negative cynicism. We tend towards criticism and anger and stress and anxiety. But the Bible tells us that we can live beyond that, above that, because we have been given a perspective that comes from eternity. It is not just this lifetime that you're asking us to look at. You're asking us to look at eternity, and that's what we must focus on. God works all things together for the good to those who love him. Amen.